It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens. But the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today. Social media is a great tool to be able to have a platform to share what you want to share, tell people about yourself, but it's short form and it can only go so far because it's in small incremental doses, which is why this podcast is one of my all-time favorite things in the whole entire world because I can just sit and talk for as long as I want without a time restriction. However, my voice will only hold up for so long. After a podcast, not trying to be complainy-wainy, but my throat sometimes hurts. Which I guess means I'm talking using my throat instead of my diaphragm for all of my vocal people out there. If you know, you know. That's something I really, really struggle with. That's something that really hurt me whenever I was in my BFA program at school and singing. But that's beside the point. We're not talking about that right now. Today, we are talking about questions that you have. I try to answer as many questions as I can on our Instagram or our TikTok or the short form platforms. However, you can only go in depth for so long before it just gets confusing or you can't explain yourself the proper way. And sometimes people can read things out of context over words, me included. I do that all the time with text messages, especially with my loving husband. He will text me, I love you, and I will read it as I hate you. So it's just one of those things where it's nice to be able to come onto a podcast and answer some questions that maybe you have and that you've been wondering. And maybe I've answered them before and I have a different view on them now. I feel like I'm never going to be someone who has a firm belief that is not open for change in anything except for my faith, meaning that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life, that he came, God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and then he rose 3 days later. That will never change. And the things in the Bible, I believe, so that will also never change. But there are many things that I am open to hearing other people's opinions and listening to other studies and facts or gathering information from other people and allowing that to inform how I live my life. I'm really, really big on that. I love advice. I love hearing other people's experiences and how it's shaped them and then letting that inform how I live my life. Again, with a grain of salt, I'm going to take advice and seek counsel from people that I want to be like, and I'm not going to use the advice that people that I don't want to be like give me. But today, I hope that I can just clear some questions up. And if you do have some advice questions, I hope to also answer those. Again, that is a me thing. I am not claiming to be a pastor. I am not claiming to be the end-all be-all smart person. I am simply speaking from personal experience, from what I know from reading the Bible. I have my Bible right next to me in case I need to open it up, and from what I've learned from other people. So I hope that in this episode, you will get the answers you so seek. This is going to be a little bit all over the place because I put out a poll on our podcast Instagram, That's Life Potty, throwing it back. When Ryan and I first started posting content, our Instagram handle was That's Life Potty, P-O-D-D-Y, and I posted strictly running content and couples, like couples running content. And now it's morphed into a strictly lifestyle couple page, which is so awesome and fun and amazing, but it's nice that we still get to have this little Instagram handle for the podcast now. So That's Life Potty. If you want to be involved in the podcast episodes, topics, things, then go follow that. Shameless plug. Okay, we're getting into the questions that I put out on that Instagram poll on That's Life Potty. P-O-D-D-Y, not P-O-T-T-Y, like using the restroom. P-O-D-D-Y, like podcast with a D-Y instead of cast at the end. We continue. What's your biggest tip for an amateur runner training for a half marathon? Consistency. That is the biggest thing. That is the thing that will set you apart, is consistency. In my opinion, it does not matter how fast you run or what your paces are, especially when you're first beginning. It matters being consistent, because if you don't show up and you don't show up for your training or commit to the commitment that you made, show up for yourself, then you're not going to do that on race day. And so the biggest thing that you can practice is showing up. The biggest thing that you can do is run on the days that you don't want to run, because say you wake up on marathon morning and you don't want to run, or say you get 5 miles into the half marathon and you're like, oh, I'm done. Are you going to quit? No, because you're not going to pull from that 800 meter repeat workout for your first marathon. You're going to pull from, okay, well, I did this on a day that I really didn't want to do it, so I know if I did it then I can do it now. That's what you're going to focus on, And then as time evolves and as you keep going, yeah, then you can focus on splits and you can focus on speed. But it's so easy with all the noise of social media and all the noise of trainers and all the noise of training apps and all the noise of all this information that's out there that is so amazing. But it's easy for the amateur runner or for the beginner runner to get overwhelmed with that and be like, well, I can never get to that level, so I shouldn't even start. Running is for everyone. If you have two legs, I believe you can run to a certain extent. Obviously, there are physical things that you have to be able to do. And if you're not able to run, my heart goes out to you because the Lord has blessed me with two working legs. And I am so incredibly grateful that He has, because running has changed my life. But I firmly believe that in anything you do, whether you can run or whether it's something else, consistency is going to be the key to accomplishing the goal that you've set for yourself. Now, I think if you're trying to chase success, that's a scary game to play, because you have to define what success is, and success is relative to the person. I think for one person, a certain marathon time could be a success. For me, mine is just running the race, having fun and not stopping. I never want to stop during a race. I always want to have fun, and I never want to push myself too far to where I'm not enjoying it. So that is success to me. I want to cross the finish line strong and feeling good. So I'm not going to push myself to a certain level that's going to get me injured, or that's going to make me throw up, or that's going to make me do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to make me be like, I never want to do that again. That's just not my version of success. There are many people in this world who that is their version of success. So I think when you're going into this half marathon, focus on consistency, define what your goal is, and I wouldn't set something too specific for your first goal. Whenever I first started marathon training, I took my first couple races as a comparison to taking the ACT for the first time. So if you don't know what the ACT is, it's basically like a standardized test that you take in high schools that you send that grade to colleges, and based off that grade, they kind of see if you get into that college or not. So I took the ACT multiple times, but the first time I ever took the ACT, I just went in with no studying, no nothing. I just went in to get like a blanket. Okay, I'm taking the test. I'm just going to see how it goes. I'm going to see where I am starting from here. That is kind of how I viewed my first marathon. Of course, I trained for it. I'm not going to go just run a marathon on no training. I was prepared for it, but I didn't have any goal. My goal was just to cross the finish line and not stop. It was a very, very general goal, because I knew if I got too specific, example, oh, in the ACT, I want a this score. In the marathon, I want a this time. If I crossed the finish line and I didn't get that, I would feel defeated. And you don't want to feel like that on your first race. You want to end your first race, cross the finish line, and be like, okay, when's the next? Over time, I think there's room to set those specific goals. But again, when you're first starting, consistency, and choose a goal that aligns with a positive feeling afterwards. Are you happy that you waited till marriage? Is intimacy sometimes still a struggle? Yes, intimacy is still something that I struggle with on a personal level. So if you don't know my past with this, I was a virgin before I married my husband, Ryan. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the word of what it is on YouTube and on podcasts, but you can pick up what I'm putting down. So I'm just gonna say intimacy. I didn't have intimacy with anyone until Ryan, after we said I do. And it was interesting. I've shared a little bit about the in-depth details from my personal mental and emotional state of just working through actually realizing that I am going to be intimate with someone. I kind of fell into the trap of intimacy is bad, intimacy isn't good because I'm a Christian, and I shouldn't do that before marriage. And I kind of put myself in that bubble. I think the people around me always viewed intimacy as a good thing, and it is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. But I think I'm just such a perfectionist and such an all or nothing person that I pushed myself to be like, no, well, it's just bad, so just don't do it. So still to this day, I still have to work through that. I still have to remind myself that it is God honoring, and it feels a little bit out of body, but I'm trying to accept it. And it's kind of the same thing as accepting the true love of Jesus Christ into your life. We get to walk in the freedom that God provides, and what we deserved sin-wise, He took on and put it on the cross and gave His life up for that. And now we get to walk in what He deserves, and He got what we deserve. And so I bring that up to say, like, that feeling of like, oh my goodness, like, I do not deserve this. I do not deserve this love and this freedom from Jesus Christ, but I get to receive it. That's kind of how I feel with like God honoring intimacy. It's like, oh wait, no, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this, but I do. Like, I have done it the way that God intended. And even if you haven't done it the way God intended, there's always a chance to start over and to start anew. Even if you're one day away from your wedding, you can still surrender it all to Jesus. But with that being said, it is still hard with my past to accept that truth. And so, yeah, I still have to work through it. It's something we definitely talk about and we have open conversation about, but I am so extremely happy that I waited and would not trade it for anything. I talked to Ryan about it a lot. He has a different past than I do, and we're actually putting out a Q&A on our YouTube here soon that talks about this as well. So if you're interested in what he has to say about it, you can go look at our YouTube channel. But he didn't grow up that way, and then he met Christ, and then he resaved himself, and he did. But the amount of just freedom and no shame that I felt on our wedding night, like I felt like Adam and Eve. Like it felt like we were just walking around, no clothes, and it was normal and it was God honoring. And it was like, it had always been like this. I am so glad to have stuck to my morals. I'm so glad to proudly say that only one man has ever seen me without clothes on. But honestly, I don't get this like gratifying, like, oh, I did it feeling. The happiness and the joy and the gladness just comes from the fact that I honored God. And I think that when you're waiting, if you're searching for a feeling in that waiting, it's gonna fail because feelings are fleeting. Now, feelings are byproducts, but again, if the feeling is the foundation, from my personal experience, it'll fail. I've tried to chase certain feelings and then I get caught up in my humanness and it fails. I feel this joy from waiting because I know that's what God wants. It's not necessarily what I wanted, but knowing that I honored him in the process makes me be like, yes, Lord, like for you, I'll do anything. I hope I explained myself correctly in that. Yeah, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. I am very glad I waited and I encourage everyone to do it. Can you talk about your gym routine? Yes, I can. So I've actually shifted this a little bit since I've been running a little bit less. I was training for a marathon, but now the miles are kind of scaling back a little bit. As I ramp up my miles, I decrease strength just because one, there's not enough time. Two, I just don't have enough energy. Three, I don't want to burn out, but I do think strength training is so incredibly important. And now I'm in a phase where I'm trying to put on more muscle, decrease my mileage a little bit, and I'm training for something a little bit different. I will start talking about it soon, but again, I just need to kind of like ease into it before I publicize it. I'm really excited to talk about it though. So my current training split: Mondays I do shoulders and biceps, Tuesdays I do legs, which is like hamstrings and glute focused. I don't really squat or do anything super heavy just because it hurts my lower back, and I've really, really tried to perfect my form, but it still just hurts. And so I'm like, okay, maybe it's just the way that my body was made. I don't know. I'm also pretty flexible, and so I can go pretty low in a squat, and I think that might kind of affect it as well. Anyways, and then Wednesdays I'll do back and maybe a little bit of biceps depending on how my biceps feel since I trained them on Monday. Thursdays I'll do chest and triceps, and then Fridays I will do core. Saturdays is a long run day, cardio day, and then sometimes I'll also do Zumba depending on how much running and how much like cardio I did earlier. And then I'll also just kind of stretch, do some mobility. And then if I'm ever feeling like I want to work out, but I don't want to lift super heavy, I'll do Pilates. I absolutely love Pilates. I just got Bala Bangles, which are wrist weights and ankle weights. And I absolutely love my Bala Bangles. They're in the color bone, which is white. So that's my gym split. I love lifting. Highly recommend. Think it's great. The sessions can go anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. If I'm really, really feeling it, maybe an hour and 5 minutes, but very rarely go over an hour. It's usually around 40 to 45 minutes. And I don't get on my phone. I just listen to a podcast or listen to music. I go through the sets. I usually do 4 to 5 sets of 10 to 12 exercises, 10 to 12, or I mean, did I word that right? 10 to 12 reps, 4 to 5 sets, which that 10 to 12 rep range is going to be something called atrophy. Atrophy, it's basically on the not super nerdy, like scientific way, is you're tiring out your muscles, and it's this nice middle ground where you're not like powerlifting. Powerlifting would be, I don't know, anywhere from like 1 to 3 reps. And then that like 6 to 8 range is going to be where you're really going to try to like grow that weight, increase that weight. But it's not something where you're doing like 20 reps, like a Pilates kind of thing. So atrophy focused workouts is kind of where I'm staying right now. Thoughts on talking stages? I absolutely love this question. This is going to be a hot take, but I've felt this way pretty strongly since middle school and in high school and in college. This is my feeling, okay? I'm not saying this is fact, and I'm not saying that I judge anyone who is in talking phases, okay? So please hear me. I have many friends who are in talking stages, and I love them all. However, I just don't see a point in it. I really don't see a point in the talking stage because, as far as I'm aware, and maybe it's changed today, but the talking stage, whenever I was in high school and college, was this middle ground of getting to know someone, but you're past getting to know them. Like you're like texting all the time, seeing each other all the time, but you don't want to put a label on it because you don't want to break up. And I'm kind of like, if you're in a talking stage, there's going to be a breakup no matter what. Like if you're in a talking stage, that's meaning you're pretty much talking every day, texting all the time, maybe calling, maybe seeing each other all the time. And if that's the case, label or not, boyfriend and girlfriend or not, if that just stops one day, it's gonna be awkward. It's gonna be the result of a breakup. Like when you break up, it's kind of weird. You get your feelings hurt. Both people are sad. You kind of have to recover. Maybe if you're in the same friend group, it like makes the dynamic kind of weird and you have to figure that out. That's all gonna happen if you stop in the talking stage as well. Like it's every somewhat talking stage that I had in high school. Again, I like really tried not to have a talking stage when I was in high school, but if it ever just morphed into that and we just never ended up dating, I still now in my adult brain count that as me being with someone. Like looking back in my past, I'm like, oh yeah, I was a thing with that person and I dated that person. I pretty much dated that person. Like it's all the same to me looking back. So I'm not saying jump into something too soon. I definitely think dating is very, very important. But if you're acting like your boyfriend and girlfriend, just be boyfriend and girlfriend. I just don't understand. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm aging. Maybe I'm really, really showing that I'm no longer middle school and high school anymore. But I just think like going on dates and getting to know someone is great. But if you're constantly texting, constantly calling, inviting like over to hang out with the family and like be like, oh, this is Josh, this is Ryan, this is Caleb, this is Bart. Like you're introducing them to people, like just go ahead and put a label on it. Like just do it. I don't know. That's my opinion. Again, there's a difference between talking and dating, getting to know someone. But in my opinion, bring back casual dating. I don't know why society has been like, oh, you go on one date with person and now you guys are a thing and you're gonna be together forever. That stressed me out so much. It stressed me out so much. I almost said no to going on a date with Ryan, my husband. I know so many friends who are like, well, I don't know if I want to marry this person, so I don't even know if I should go on a date with them. Y'all, a date is one date. It does not mean you have to text the person forever after that. It does not mean that you are committed to the person. It is simply one date. I do think that age plays a factor in it. If you are a middle schooler listening, one date is a lot bigger of a deal and should have a lot more brain power. But if you're like in college listening to this, a date is a date. So it does come with age as well, but that's my two cents. Have you always had the motivation to get up so early? Honestly, yes. And I think it has to do with my love for Jesus. Now hear me, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm so great. I love Jesus so much. And he just wakes me up all the time because like, I just want to spend time with him. But I really found that the morning time is when I am able to hear from Jesus the most and feel most connected to him. And so I was just always so excited growing up in life and still to this day, waking up in the mornings because I was like, oh my gosh, I get to like hang out with Jesus. I don't know what it is in me that the Heavenly Father like blessed me with just having at a young age this excitement for Jesus, but I really have just kind of been obsessed with him just as a person. And then when I came into my faith and I really was like, oh my gosh, like Jesus is my savior, it just gave it that extra boost I needed. But even when I was 5, 6, I understood the gospel. I mean, I remember understanding the gospel from when I was young, and I feel so incredibly blessed to be able to have that be my testimony and my story. But when I started like crafting my own schedule, I just knew that the morning time was time for me and God. And from there, it just kind of stemmed. And I've always just easily woken up in the morning. I don't think it's for everyone. I don't think everyone has to be a morning person, but for me, I am, and I love it. How do you incorporate exercising again after ED and the warning signs? This is a hard one. I used to compare having an ED with having any sort of addiction or problem, whether alcohol, drugs, you name it. But then I realized you can completely cut out other addictions and that is how you overcome them. Meaning you can completely cut out alcohol. You can completely cut out drugs. You can't completely cut out food. You can't completely cut out exercising unless it calls for it in that specific time. But to be a healthy human being, having moderate exercise is part of being a healthy human being. And where I'm at, I am not in a state where I need to completely cut out exercise. There have been phases in my life where I have, and I did. But again, I can't just like cut out food and I can't overdo it with food because those both fall in different EDs, and I've had both of those EDs as well. So it's this very, very fine line that you don't understand unless you understand. And it's also very hard because when you have recovered from an ED, and I'm a firm believer that you're always in recovery, but when you're not actively struggling with an ED, it's also very hard to continue to talk about it or to have an off day, because if you verbalize it to other people, there's this feeling inside of us that's like, oh, well, you know, I can't struggle with this because if I do, I'm the girl with an ED and then everyone's going to think I have a problem. Like, there have been many times where I just had a snack before it's lunchtime. Okay. And then lunchtime rolls around and, you know, my mom's like, why aren't you eating? Why aren't you eating? This was like growing up. It's like, why aren't you eating? Well, I just had a snack. And it's just different. And that's nothing to do with anybody else, especially someone like my mother, who literally is in charge of my life and has to keep me living. Like, that is her job. But it is just hard to continue on after having something like that, because, you know, I had a snack 30 minutes before lunch and then it's lunch and I'm not hungry. And it's like, why? And so not only does that stress the other person out, but the person who has struggled with the ED, it just makes them feel isolated and it makes them feel like they're never going to not be looked at as a problem. And so this applies also in exercise. And I deal with it so much on social media. I'm very proud to share how far I've come, but that does not mean that I have it perfect, but it also doesn't mean that I'm actively struggling with an ED. It's very messy because that's what it is. You can't completely not do it and you can't completely go overboard either. It's like if I completely cut out exercising and eat foods that don't nourish me and don't make me feel my best, and I eat it in excess all the time, that is not honoring my body. But if I go back to the tendencies that I more lean toward, which is extreme restriction, that's also not healthy either. Balance is relative. And when there are so many opinions, it makes it hard to find balance that works for you. It also is extremely hard because we don't know what balance is, and we have to relearn that. And balance is different in different phases of your life. And so that's why I say we're always in recovery. But to go back to the question, how do I incorporate exercising again after ED? I can only listen to the voices that matter to me. I have about 5 people who I take their advice and their opinion. They are my accountability people. They are like my mom, Ryan, and a couple friends. I tell them everything. Everybody else, I don't talk about it. I don't. I mean, I post like my training and stuff on social media, and I've gotten a lot of hate. I've gotten a lot of pushback, and I've gotten a lot of concern, which I really appreciate people who are concerned from like a good place. But then I take that and I talk about it with Ryan or my people, and I'm like, okay, I don't really feel like this applies to me, but can you check me and see, like, maybe I'm not seeing clearly. And majority of the time where I'm at in life right now, they're like, yeah, no, that's just like, they, you know, they don't see your whole life, but like, no, you're doing great. And they affirm that. If there's concern, they bring it up to me as well. Like, I went on a long run and then I wanted to go to Zumba on Saturday. And so I was like, yeah, Ryan, I'm going to go to Zumba. And he was like, do you really think you need to go? You've done a lot today. And instantly I got this like gut feeling of like, you're right. So I didn't go. And I think just inviting people into that is the key to success. I also just think prayer. I pray over my workouts all the time, and that the Holy Spirit would keep my conscience in line and keep me focused on actually honoring my body rather than chasing these worldly goals that are going to lead me down a path of destruction. Do I have a perfect answer to this question? No, but I think tangibly having people in your circle, having a small group of people in your circle who you can trust and who you tell things to, who you know won't go and tell everybody else. And I think just taking it one day at a time, evaluating how your body feels. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I don't need to work out today. So I don't. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I don't want to work out today. So I do. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm so excited to work out. So I do. Sometimes I want to keep going and keep going and keep going. And I have to say, well, even though I feel like I want to keep going, I should probably stop. So I do. And it's continuing to just learn what is good for your body. And again, that's prayer. That's talking with other people, and it's taking it day by day. There are times for structure and there are times for not structure. And I've had both, but I can't say a general statement of like, this is what to do, because it's different for everybody. When, why, and how did you start the podcast? I really like this question. I started my freshman year of college, so I've been doing the podcast for a little over 5 years now. I didn't post anything. I had an Instagram just to like post once a week to be like, oh, I put a podcast out, ta-da. But I really just wanted to do it because I had so much I wanted to say and I had nowhere to put it. I was putting like paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs on my personal Instagram. And I just was like, I don't know, this feels not personal. I want to say more. There's only so much you can fit into an Instagram. So I thought about starting a podcast because I had just gotten into listening to podcasts, but I just had no idea how to start. And so I just didn't. And I remember sitting at lunch one day with one of our friends. I was on Thanksgiving break, about to go back to school my freshman year. And I was like, yeah, I want to start a podcast, but like, I don't know what's stopping me. And they were like, so then just do it. And I don't know why, but it just clicked for me. So on my drive back, I purchased a Blue Yeti microphone. That was my first microphone that I had. And from there, I just figured it out. Like, you literally just figure it out. I had a microphone. I plugged it into my MacBook and I just sat at my desk once a week and I talked about Jesus. I talked about things that was going on in my life. I talked about how the Lord was working in my life, thoughts I had on things. I was very sporadic, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it so much. And now here I am. And it's evolved and it's changed, but that's life. And that's why I chose it. That's why I chose the name, because I knew it was going to change, because people evolve and things change. And so that's life has always just stuck. How do you know when you found your person? Ha ha ha. This scared me so much growing up. I was so terrified that I was going to make the wrong choice in who I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Here's the thing about God is that he's not sitting there being like, okay, here's your test. And if you choose right or you choose wrong, like, I'm waiting to see what you choose. That's not how God works. God gives us the freedom to choose whether to follow him or not. So why would he not allow you to choose and have it work for your good? God wants us to have joy. God wants to say yes to the things we want to do. But the thing about God is that he loves us so much that he's going to give us the things that are best for us. And so it's not a matter of me finding the right person. It's a matter of me saying yes to the next opportunity. And when I met Ryan, I had no idea that he was my person. And if I'm being quite honest, even when we started dating, I wasn't even really sure if I really like had extreme feelings for the guy. I just, you know, I liked him. So I was like, yeah, we can date. Like, I knew I wanted to continue hanging out with him, but I wasn't too sure for how long I wanted to hang out with him. I just knew in that moment, like, yeah, I want to keep going on dates with you. So yeah, I'll start dating you. And then after that, we got to know each other. And then after that, we started expressing some really extreme feelings for each other, because I had some really extreme feelings for each other. And it was just the next step and the next step and the next step. I feel like as women, especially Christian women, it's very easy to be like, I don't want to get into something until I know the end plan, because if this goes wrong and it takes me away from God, or it leads me astray, or it leads to heartbreak, like, I just can't get myself into that. And the thing is, love is hard and messy, and sometimes it's not fun, but you're never going to know unless you say yes. And so Ryan is my person, but I didn't know that he was my person until way later on down the line of dating, like almost, I don't know, 6-7 months in, which may seem like a shorter amount of time in the grand scheme of things. But when you start dating someone, you don't have to know if you want to marry them or not. That's the point of dating, is getting to know someone if you want to marry them or not. Now, don't go marry someone, or don't go date someone and be like, oh, well, I don't really want to marry them, but I'm just going to date them for fun. Okay, people, we don't want to do that. But if this person possesses qualities that you could find in a potential husband or wife, start dating them, see where it leads. And if you let the Holy Spirit lead your heart in that relationship, and you have an intimate relationship with God, you and God, not your pair and God, but you, he'll guide you in where to go. It's not like he's going to shake his head and be like, you should not have dated this person. No, I'm just going to leave you. No, he's going to be like, okay, you made the choice to date this person. Let's figure this out. God is a good God. He's a loving God. I think I'm going to leave us here. And I'm going to do a part two next week, because there are so many other good questions that I did not get to and I really want to get to. I yap and yap and yap and yap, and I can just go and go and go. So I'll put on another question poll maybe sometime this week, just to get some answers to questions that you really, really want to know. But maybe I didn't touch on the question in this podcast episode, but there are still so many questions that I want to get to. I just kept talking. I told myself I wasn't going to talk that long, and I did anyways. With that being said, oh, I forgot. I have to end with my high and my low of the week. My low of the week is that Ryan was sick. Sad. My high of the week is that I get to talk to you guys. I just love talking to you guys. Listen, Jesus loves you. I love you. Thanks for listening to this Q&A. I'll see you next week for part two. Bye. Love you. Bye.